do give this time, open this time for those that may have thoughts or comments or questions.
I remember years ago, actually prior to an extended season of discipline, we watched a film on bearing fruit. I may have mentioned this before, but since we're talking once again about bearing fruit, it was really well done. It was a illustration of the vine and what it is for the branches to abide in the vine, and the fruit is going to come. It's not a matter of working and trying to squeeze out something that will become fruit. And I was also thinking today about when we talk about bearing fruit, if we're occupied with the fruit, it's going to bring pride. Mm-hmm. If we're thinking about that, and that's obviously not going to work. And the question, what can I do today to produce fruit? It's a very simple answer. It's abiding in the vine and being occupied with the Lord. And just seeing today the relationship between bearing fruit, walking in newness of life, and reigning in life through Christ Jesus, that's all related to what it is to bear fruit. I'm becoming more aware that fruit happens, but it's not because I'm trying to pick ways of how can I bear fruit. It's just you abide in Christ and things fall into your lap and cross your path, and you just be occupied with the Lord. You do what He shows you to do, or you do what comes across your path, and fruit's going to be there. And He receives the glory. We don't. It's not something we come up with. It's His works.
See, Lord, I want to bear fruit. I want to have a lot in that crown of Your glory. So You providentially arranged circumstances for me, that which will give me the opportunity of Your assigned kingdom assignment for fruit bearing today. And You'll do it. You see it happening all the time. You know, I look at my schedule, it's empty this week. Well, you know, next thing I know, I got 4 people on the page. I mean, I didn't make the schedule. God just providentially and circumstantially brought these things about. So God will arrange your circumstances. And they may not be pleasant all the time. You might not have anything else.
You go if you have something to share.
No, you go first.
Well, I was, as Doug was instructing us, beginning to instruct us, today we were in the Word. I thought to myself, okay, now, Lord, what is the practical application of this? And then I kind of corrected my thinking. Well, wait a minute. Paul instructs us to not despise teaching, prophetic utterances. It's not all about us. It's not all about the application. We need to hear the Word. But after I prayed that and then kind of adjusted my thinking, the Lord really started making personal application. But it built on each other. And I've never seen in the context of Romans 5, I've never seen Romans 6 like I did. But it's also opening up all kinds of other scripture. So I'll just briefly go over how the Lord was comparing scripture with scripture in my mind. Because Paul says, let us exalt in our tribulations. And of course that takes us to James. Count it all joy, my brethren. And really, James and Paul are saying the same thing. Knowing that your trials will produce this and produce that and produce proven character. James says the same thing. But first thing that the tribulation brings about is perseverance. And I thought, wow, how important is that? Because for a short-termer, that's not perseverance. Perseverance is the long haul, right? No matter what the circumstances, no matter how it appears, no matter what, you have to lean back on God and on the calling and on how He's apprehended you for His purpose. And that produces the perseverance.
And you can leaning back, looking back, but leaning into.
Leaning into, yeah.
Both.
Yeah. In looking at the perseverance in the light of eternity, you're the long hauler, you know, and by His grace. But then after perseverance, not until perseverance, the proven character comes in. And when you think about proven character, that means we are tried under every circumstance. We're tried under Well, like Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatsoever circumstance I am, whether it's plenty, whether it's not having nothing, you know, whether it's fruitful, not bearing fruit, whatever. That's a proof before God and the angels that we mean business with the Lord. So we'll persevere, and the Lord will prove. And then hope. So after that, the last thing is hope. And hope is connected with the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. So in light of where we are in our generation and our lifetime, I can say, and I'm sure everyone here can say, thank you, God, for the tribulations. All the times we've said, why is it so hard? Are you even with us? Are you for us? And then you have to fall back on His Word, on the reality of Romans 6, on identification truths, and that gets you through. And in the meantime, you're persevering. In the meantime, He's proving your character. And so what does that have to do with where we're living now? Hope. Who has hope in this world? No one but Christians. And no one but Christians who have persevered and thereby have proven character. There is no one else that's going to be able to give hope to anyone, because it's going to be that dire, and every single person on the face of the earth is going to be affected by it. So I say thank you, Lord. Thank you for the trials, the tribulations, the things that are so off the chart that you don't think you can take the next breath. And yet you know what you're doing. And that made me think about His discipline in Hebrews 12. When He says, for they, human fathers, disciplined us for a short time. First it says, though, should we not rather be subject to the Father of our spirits? So how much of that falls into the character of perseverance and tribulation? We are being disciplined unto godliness. And the writer of Hebrews tells us, be subject to that Father who is disciplining you. And He disciplines us for our good, that we may share His holiness. So that goes along with Romans 5, because holiness is what proven character is, righteousness, the quality of life, the character of Christ. And all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, not while we're being trained. It's hellacious while we're being trained. But afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And then He goes on to encourage us to strengthen the hands that are weak. Now that we're just human beings, and yet we have the hope of glory living within us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So that's one aspect. And then I thought of, under the word perseverance, my little thing on the side, what do you call that?
Reference
on the side, refers to Philippians 2:22. But you know of His, He's talking about Timothy, you know of His proven worth. There's that word proven. That He served with me in the furtherance of the gospel. And then there's another reference. Yeah. James, which I already referred to. He says, blessed is a man who perseveres, there's the word perseverance, under trial. For once he has been approved. There you go. Perseverance and proven and approval go together throughout the Word of God. For once he has been approved. And who's approving him? The Lord. And our character is actually being proven. It's like, and the Lord is saying, I'm proud of you. You're responding to me. You're responding to the discipline. You're choosing to live in Romans 6 instead of going back into the old man and the flesh. And maybe each time that it even gets greater and greater, you know, the discipline and the trials, we go to that old man less and less and less. And that is the proving. So it's little by little, and it takes a long time. At least it has in Doug's and my life. So
I would say especially mine.
Once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. So who are, you know, characterized by loving him. What does that mean? We're his bond slave. We love him. We say, Lord, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm yours. Do with me what you will. And even in those times where it really does appear, he is not with us. He is not in us. It's at those times you choose to believe his word. We choose to say, no, no, Lord, you loved me and you gave your life for me. And you gave yourself to me, and you're ever living to make intercession. And it's as we're holding on to his word, apart from all appearances, all our emotions, all what maybe others are saying, that we are being proved, our character. And another way to say it is we are in the refiner's fire. And there's no way out up from that refiner's fire. We can't climb out of that kettle. And so it all goes back to our Lord's faithfulness. Then lastly, oh, and I loved this because the Lord brought to my mind Philadelphia in Revelation 3 and what he says about Philadelphia. I won't read everything. But he does say, you've kept my word and have not denied my name. Again, that's part of our proving. And it's done in tribulation. It really isn't done in the times where, there, you know, we're not going through things. The keeping of his name, keeping of his word and not denying his name is done when we're in the fire. And then he says, because, verse 10, 3:10, Revelation 3:10, because you have kept the word of my perseverance. And I have written in there, my staying power. Yeah. So again, it's not, oh, I persevered. Oh, look at me. Oh, yes, you know, pat myself on the back. Are you kidding me? It is God's power. And it goes back to Philippians 2, for it is God who is working within you. That's power, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That means if I'm willing, if I'm persevering, it is because of his power. It is all him, and I'm simply responding. I'm being given a choice to actually believe God's word and trust him, or to fall back on my old patterns of escape, my old patterns of, it could be dissociating, it could be sublimation, could be all different kinds of things, but no, instead, Lord, I'm going to respond to you.
We live determinately, like Jamie Walden says, we have a mission.
Deliberately.
We live deliberately.
Deliberately. We live deliberately. Every day we get up. So he says, because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you out from the hour of testing. That hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. I mean, if that is not going to be fulfilled in our day.
It couldn't have been fulfilled in that generation.
No.
The whole world was not yet where we are today. So that has a prophetic fulfillment right now,
right,
whole world.
Right. And so this, you know, at the end then, verse 12, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar. Well, what is a pillar? A pillar is one that can hold things up. He can entrust weight to, a heavy weight of glory, Paul says. But I'll make him a pillar in the house of my God.
That means eternal, substantial.
In the temple of my God.
Validation of the Lord in the ages to come.
But to me, I also hear through that, proven character, proven. Sit at my right hand, proven character. How much does that mean to God, and how much we thank Him and praise Him that He has not kept us from tremendous pressure and suffering. He has not. He has not heard our cry, Uncle, Uncle, Lord, get me out of this. Lord, why? Why? He has said, I'm keeping you there, daughter, son, so that I can prove you and I can put you in places of excellency and ascendancy like I did Joseph.
Responsibility.
And responsibility. So is that not what our heart's been crying out for? I don't think we'd all be here together if we didn't have hearts that He had given us that cry out for His best. And it's long term, and it's absolutely impossible. It is impossible, but it is Him possible. So that's what I got out of that one verse from Romans 5, and leading me out to all those other verses that are so glorious. And oh, brethren, please remind me next time you see me falling into a pit. Remind me. I know I had to remind Doug yesterday of a little of this, and but we need to really be there for each other instead of withdrawing. We're there for each other, and we say, you know, here's what I'm going through. I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't think I'm going to make it through. I don't think I'm going through to God's end. And then we encourage one another. Yeah, we need one another really badly in these days. So, bottom line, we will be able to share the hope that is within us with those around us, even if it's in a FEMA camp. Boy, that'll be our shining hour. The church's best hour is yet ahead.
Yeah, there's two places where the Bible says those who don't know Christ have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and Ephesians 2:12. If you don't know Christ, you have no hope.
Yeah.
No hope for you. Anybody else? Ready? Okay.
Here you go. Oh, Lord defines things so well, but it's like I just could see. I think the Lord is bringing us to this place. He's teaching us things now, in a for when things get worse.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. It's like what I could see that was so important is that obedience to the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord, and loving one another.
Yeah.
And those things are part of what then make the enemy a footstool for our feet. And so, you can correct me if I have those things, but it's like those three. And I know that's what the Lord has taught me over the years. It's like to really, truly be satisfied in the midst of whatever, no matter how. I mean, I was thinking back to the beginning of when I got sick, and there was a few times when I just blew basic. I mean, I think of one specific time when I was super upset just about everything, and I got real upset, and then Sally took me out for a hamburger. But she just encouraged me in the Lord, and then now it's like, you know, the Lord, not that I don't struggle still sometimes and go through stuff, but it's like, no, the Lord's teaching us to be satisfied no matter what and to rejoice in Him. And we make this practice when things get dark. It's like, no, we're going to praise Him. We'll praise Him. We'll praise Him. And we were reminded of that by that article you sent out. Was it Watchman Nee? Do you remember who it was written by? I think it was written by Watchman Nee.
Yeah.
But that obedience, rejoicing in Him and loving one another, or, you know, love believing all things, love bearing all things, love is patient, love is kind. all those things. So I think God's teaching us something now, because as He constitutes us, that I pray that He does get that place in me, so that no matter where we get put, Christ shines forth like He did and like Darlene Dibbler Rose, like in Carrie Ten Boom, and
Richard Wurmbrand.
I've been listening to all these different biographies of how God just shone through these people. But how did He do it? He had it before they went in. Like Paul, he was there before he went into prison, but then when he went into prison, that was made manifest. It was constituted. It was brought into a reality, because now he knew how to lay hold of his Savior for that to be. When was it made manifest truly? In prison. After prison, that's when we have Ephesians, right?
Well, he wrote Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, and in prison.
Okay, when he was in prison.
Yeah.
Sorry, but those came out in those
days. Yes, that's right.
And so, okay. That's it.
Anything else?
Okay. So what is the last attribute of love in 1 Corinthians 13? Love is, and love is not. What's the last thing?
Endures.
Love, hupomeno.
Perseveres.
It perseveres, endures all things. So I don't think I can go on anymore. Baptize me in the fullness of the divine love that endures. And you can put in there love does this, love is kind, gentle, etc. You just put it in where you put in there. You can just put it Jesus in there. So you can just put Jesus is not. Okay. Well, all right, anything else, saints? All right. So thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. Your word says God is light, no shades, full transparency. No need to hide. You just are who you are. God is light. That's your divine nature. In you, Lord, there is no darkness at all. And if we are walking in the light as you are in the light, then we will have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, present tense, keeps cleansing us from all sin. So we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name.